Mother's Day to you. We are so appreciative of our mothers and wives. You deserve all the honor that we could possibly bestow upon you. We love you and appreciate you for what you are as mothers and wives, and we appreciate you for what you mean to this church family. So we indeed do honor. Happy Mother's Day to you. We are so appreciative of our mothers and wives. You deserve all the honor that we could possibly bestow upon you. We love you and appreciate you for what you are as mothers and wives, and we appreciate you for what you mean to this church family. So we indeed do honor you on this holiday, Mother's Day. Some have asked me why I get to wear a flower on Mother's Day. Well, I've got to tell you about that. Yesterday, whenever we were at Sam's picking up the flowers that we are going to hand out to you mothers later, Jordan found this on the floor. And she said, "Papa, this is for you to wear tomorrow." She said, "It will make you pretty." So, and tomorrow is my birthday, and it's also Dustin Mayhew's birthday and Landon Trollinger's birthday and Jake Fortenberry's birthday. And so this morning I wished Jake a happy birthday, and I said, "Jake, how old do you think I'm going to be?" And he thought, I know he was thinking, "Boy, he's pretty old." And he said, 42. So I am a pretty 42 today. And I am just have it the best of the days. You just can't be any better. Well, this morning, I want us to look at one of the most dramatic, one of the most majestic dramas in all of literature. It is the story about Job. And oh, what a drama it is. It's a battle between good and evil, right and wrong. It is a test of faith, of Job's faith in God, of God's faith in Job. It is about a faith that is strong, courageous, enduring. It is about a faith that will stand up to the worst that Satan can throw against us. It really is an awesome, awesome story. But it's not about Job today. It is, but it isn't. Today's Mother's Day, so we want to look at the mother in that story. The mother and the wife. Now, all we know to call her is Miss Job, because we do not know her name. We know the name of Job's three daughters. We find that in Job 42. But it never mentions her name. In fact, in the 42 chapters of Job, she says one thing. 10 words is all she says. But in that 10 words, we learn a great deal about Miss Job. Would you listen as Brad reads to us from Job this morning?
We're reading Job, chapter 2, verse 3 through 10. From the English Standard Version. And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. All that a man has he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken powdery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips.
Well, what a great and terrible test we find Job in the midst of. God had a lot of faith in Job. So whenever Satan came into the presence of God, now don't tell me he doesn't have a lot of gall. He may be foolish at some times, but you can't not say he doesn't have a lot of gall to go into the presence of God. And God asked him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Because he said, I've been going all over the earth, to and fro. And he said, I know about Job. I know how you've coddled him and petted him. You've given him everything in the world. And indeed, that is true. Job was very, very, very wealthy. And he was indeed one of the richest men in the whole area. In Job 1 and verse 8, he is called a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and hates evil. So yes, he was indeed very well off. Very comfortable. So Satan says to God, "If you took away all that he has, he'll curse you." And God said, "All right, let it be done." And so Job loses everything, all of his sheep, all of his goats, all of his donkeys, all of his camels. Not only that, but his children, 10 of them, are at their brother's birthday party. And a great wind comes and the house falls down and kills all of his children. And you tell me what Job might do. No, I'll tell you. "Naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Pat, I know a little bit, just a little tiny corner off the page of what Job must have been feeling when a couple of years ago that our house burned. And I know that day I wasn't very thankful. Oh, I was thankful that we were alive. But I didn't say anything like that. Now, since that time, many times over, have I thanked my God for his kindness and blessing. We never did blame God. We never did do that. Man, it's hard to be thankful when you're losing everything you've worked for a lot of years. And that's what happened to Job with the multiplied times 10,000. Then add on top of that his children. I don't know how in the world he was able to handle it. But then Satan comes back to God and he wants round two. Because he said, skin for skin, all that he's got, he'll give for his life. You threaten his life, you take his life. And he'll curse you this time. I know he will. And God says to Satan, go and do what you must, but you cannot kill him. And so Satan goes and he covers Job with boils. Horrible, horrible boils. From the top of his head to the sole of his foot. So that there's not any way he can lay down. There's not any way he can stand up. There's not any way he can sit. That he's not suffering unto death. Now, do you see what the devil is trying to do? He can't kill Job. So he's trying to do his very best to get Job to kill himself. Now, if he can do that, then he's still won. So, now this is where Miss Job comes in. Job is being tested horribly, horribly tested. But we're told that our faith will be tested. We live in a world, people, where bad things do happen to good people. Some bad things are happening here. But in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now watch this right here. Knowing that the testing of your faith, will produce patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Man, it's hard to see a good end to a situation like this right here. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, that's where Peter talks about our faith being tried like gold. He said, don't be surprised whenever your faith is tried. When your faith is put in the fire, he calls it. Because that's what happens in this world we live in. And I dare say that there's not a one of us here, or if you're still quite young, that your time is not coming, that have not been with our faith in the fire. So Job is, man, he steps up to the plate and he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't have that kind of faith. Wish I did. Working on it. Man alive, what a power in this man's faith, facing that kind of test. standing with that kind of courage. But what about Miss Job? Well, you know, I keep wanting to take up for Miss Job. I think about those were her camels, her oxen, her sheep, her children. Now, it doesn't say anything about grandchildren, but I'm sure there were grandchildren. I don't know whether they were there or not. If there were, I imagine that they were, because it was a party. It was a birthday party, and the whole family was there. So you throw in grandchildren, and they were all killed. What? God, what would that do to a mother? How would that tear her heart apart to lose all of her children and all of her grandchildren? So you can't help but empathize with Miss Job. But, and to see her husband in so much agony, I want to say that she loved him so much that she'd rather see him dead than suffer like that. That's what I want to say. But, if she'd have just said, Job, I'd rather see you dead because I love you. I hate to see you like this. I'd rather see you dead than suffering like this. But that's not what she said. She said, why do you maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. She was blaming God so much that she was telling Job to forfeit your soul. Forfeit your soul and die. Curse God and die. So, Miss Job did not pass the test. Her test of faith, she failed. She didn't have enough faith in God to say, God, I'm trusting in you, but I don't understand this. And Job didn't. Later on, Job is in such confusion that he says, God, if I could just talk to God, I'd ask him a thing or two. Well, God gave him a chance to do that, you remember, when he appeared to him in a whirlwind and he said, before you ask me anything, let me ask you something. And he started with all of these questions, some of which even in our modern day technology and scientific advancement, we still have not answered. Like, how does the sun come up in the morning and the moon come out and the stars come out at night? Who do you think does that? And he just kept on asking him these questions until finally Job just says, I'm a wretched man. I don't even know what I was talking about. I don't have any right to answer you. And God never answered his question. Did you know that Job never did know what all of this had taken place with Satan and all of this kind of thing and the challenge and all? He never knew it. But he didn't have to, because he trusted God so. But here, how did Miss Job fail? Well, for one thing, she failed to be a helper to her husband. You remember the old Tammy Wynette song, "Stand by Your Man"? She didn't stand by her man. I cannot imagine my life personally without my Pat. She's always been there. It's not an easy life I asked her to live to begin with, to be a preacher's wife. That comes with a lot of baggage, just like an elder's wife. It's like a deacon's wife. So it wasn't an easy start to begin with, but there have been some troubled times. She's always been there. A strength. And we've made it through them because we halved our sorrows and we doubled our joys because we did it together. I cannot imagine here in the whenever he needed her most. Satan was trying to get him to kill himself anyway. That's the whole point. That's what he was trying to do. And now here's Job's wife right in there punching him in the gut. Helping Satan out. She didn't stand by her man. Ladies, let me tell you something. If you want to make yourself, if you want to make yourself indispensable in your family, you be a source of strength. You be a source of encouragement to your family. Another thing was that she forgot that God does not tempt anyone. In James chapter 1 verses 13 through 15 is where James says that don't say when you're tempted, "I'm tempted to God." For one thing, God cannot be tempted with evil, and he doesn't tempt any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has finished, conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. God was not tempting him. And she forgot that. She forgot that God is always there to give us strength. She forgot that there's a way of escape with every temptation. That we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. That God won't let us be tempted more than what we can bear. Sometimes I think we think so. But that's a promise. Not tempted more than what we can bear. So that we can be able to hold up underneath the burdens. A promise from God. And then she failed to realize that God is the God of strength and courage and compassion. We hear our Lord say, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you." Matthew 11 and 28 and 1 Peter 5 and 7. And then she failed to know that God is the God of victory. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. "Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in him." Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Romans 8, 35-39, who can separate us from the love of God? Tribulation? Toil? Powers? Seen and unseen? Things to come? Height? Depth? Any other creature? Nay, in all of these things, we are made to triumph through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Don't be a Miss Job. The greatest thing that you can do for your family, ladies, mothers, wives, is to be a Christian. Nothing greater. Nothing greater than that. So if you're not, and you want to be, my master has given his life, shed his blood for you. Will you let your faith lead you to be baptized for the remission of your sins, raised to walk in newness of life? As this